Right. I'm working with an iPad today, and so technology's great when it works. I hope that it stays with me the whole time. The full report that I provide to the commissioners will be available to everyone to read as part of the minutes of the meeting when they're posted to the website. So I won't go into, I won't read the entire thing verbatim. Feel free to read that later, and always let me know if you have any comments or questions. Be glad to hear feedback. So the last meeting was February 4th, and this update is since that time. I did testify to the Nebraska Unicameral Appropriations Committee at the budget hearing March 2nd. We're on a biennium budget request for state funds, and the request will cover from July 1, 2017 through June 30, 2019. And that's why our testimony was held about that request. Commissioner Bulger also testified. He did a great job giving excellent perspective and information. The committee did recommend funding NCBVI at our full request level, and I think you've probably all read in the news about the budget constraints, especially this year, and the cuts that are being considered right now in the unicameral. So we felt very fortunate that they supported us fully in our request. The budget process is still in the House of the Nebraska Legislature, that is the unicameral, and I don't know how closely everybody follows it, but there's been a lot of discussion about various aspects of the budget. Ours is kind of a drop in the bucket with the rest of it, but nevertheless, every dollar makes a difference. So we have yet to see what the outcome will be. And so as of yesterday, there was not any, they've made some progress, but the thing has not been finalized. So we're still kind of waiting. Also, with regard to the federal budget, that has been passed by the House, and it's going to the Senate now. We have an analysis that shows us that the part for Rehabilitation Services Administration, which is what we are under, will be roughly the same, but a slight cut. We don't have any dollar amounts yet, but we should be pretty on target with our federal grant awards. Since I'm on funding, I'll also talk about that donation. We get lots of small donations, from $5 to $50, sometimes a big one for $500 or so, and we always send thank yous to those people, and we truly appreciate those gifts. This one is a $10,000 gift, and state law requires that if you get a gift or grant of $10,000 or more, you have to request of the governor permission to accept that and to spend those funds. So that's the letter Mike was talking about. We don't have that approval yet. When we do, which hopefully we will, then we'll be able to fully announce that and put that into our budget. That's just really gratifying when people acknowledge. And it specifically was said that it was because the lady knows about the good work that NCBVI does. So that's a lovely thing. We have been looking for new apartments for our training center. We had done a request for proposals, which is a very rigid process that you go through. And we went through all the steps. We did not have any adequate proposals, And so we rejected, there was actually one proposal, but really it was not gonna work for us, so we rejected that. We just, and then, so then we went through a sort of bureaucratic process to get permission to go outside the RFP process in order to try to find new space, whether it's office space or, in this case, apartments. Our center apartments are so different from the average state lease, which is usually just, you know, offices, cubicles type of thing, that it just really, it's great that we now have approval to go outside the process. So we just had a meeting a day or two ago discussing how we could look elsewhere. We have some ideas that we're going to begin exploring now. We still do it with State Building Division. They have to be very involved. They have the final approval on any lease that any state agency enters into, and they also have the expertise, so they're very helpful in the process. Another major effort relates to our new client database system. It's called AWARE, and we've been working extremely hard. Right now we're in what's called an adaptation phase and a testing phase. We're set to go live with AWARE July 3rd. And so that's, I just can't even tell you the amount of work that various staff are putting on this, but it really is going to be a great system for us in tracking, reporting, logging, and doing the performance, measure, accountability that we have to do as a part of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, WIOA. So in a nutshell, that's been a huge, huge effort. The WIOA has other aspects that are important in the process. One is working on a common intake portal, and that is that there are a lot of aspects of WIOA, Department of Labor, unemployment, adult education, Vocational Rehabilitation, Veterans Administration, there's several more. It's really quite a huge endeavor, and it is national. So the Common Intake Portal is something that within Nebraska we're working on coming up with a system so that people who maybe they need food stamps, so they go anyway, so they don't have to make separate applications for every single thing they need: unemployment, food stamps, literacy class, voc rehab, etc. So that's in the works, and we're definitely at the table stressing the importance of accessibility and working on things of that nature. I also wanted to mention, yes, sir.
Dr. Vincent, was the common intake process that is being worked through, is that something that the various organizations in Nebraska have chosen to work on, or was that a mandate from WIOA?
I'm pretty sure that the common intake portal is a mandate. Yes. How you do it is up to the states, I guess. So.
Sure. And I apologize. One of the questions. Okay. While I have the floor here.
Yes.
The contributions that we typically that the commission typically receives that are very appreciated, but the $5, $10, $20, $50 contributions typically go into a fund that can be used at your discretion, am I correct, for things to help clients that fit into, I mean, it can be used for lots of different things, but it's a little more up to your discretion instead of some of the money that we receive from the federal government and from the state match and so on. Am I remembering where those typically go?
You are remembering where they typically go. That is correct.
And I was wondering if this would be any different because of the size.
Yeah. All donations, all funds that come to the agency, whether grant or donation, still must be expended in accordance with state and federal law.
Correct.
So I have discretion, or we, the agency, have discretion to a point, but they still must be according to law and also in accordance with the grant authority that we have.
Right.
So those are still important aspects of it. The difference in the size, that would not make a difference either in how we can expend it, except that sometimes people who grant or give us gifts do have a specific request, which we always honor. Sometimes we've had grants in the past, gifts in the past, where they especially wanted funds to be spent in the North Platte area or in the Panhandle. And to the best of our ability, we have honored those requests.
Okay. I remembered that it was a because it's not specifically part of like the VR grant that we get from the federal government, that some of the requirements of how that money is used, there's some more flexibility.
Yes.
Than those specific funds that come in on the federal grants that were matched with state dollars.
Right. Okay.
Can I ask one other quick question?
Absolutely.
Please, talking about student apartments.
Yes.
Being that we are a state agency, if hypothetically speaking, if we had the money to buy an apartment building, can we do that, or do we have to lease it?
State law does not completely prohibit purchase, but they heavily do not endorse purchasing. In general, state agencies are required to lease, and the state owns, so like state staff, or what do you call that? State office buildings in North Platte, Lincoln,
right.
Omaha. If there is a state office building, most agencies are required to rent that space. And you have to get permission from State Building Division to go elsewhere. So, like, if you wanted to give us $5 million to build a building, we might not even be able to do that.
Okay, that's
right. Yeah. I can't tell you the exact... I just know that it's
well, I just know it's, for what we've spent for at least an apartment for 3 years, we could probably build a pretty nice little Trump Tower, you know.
I know, I know. Yeah. If you want more details on the specifics of the law, I could sure research that.
Well, it's okay. Yeah. I knew there was probably some little rule like that
uh-huh.
we can't own it. So.
Right. Okay, we have just recently put into effect a statewide contract with NanoPack, which is the sole distributor of many of the companies that sell adaptive equipment and the technology that our consumers and staff utilize. And this new contract will make it more seamless, smoother, and more efficient for our staff to purchase equipment. It also will be available for every state agency, should they have maybe a state employee who needs adaptive equipment just as an employee, say of Department of Labor or Department of Roads. This contract would enable that agency to purchase directly to get the equipment their new employee needs. So we're excited about that. Wes Majerus is working with Pat Fisher from NanoPack on a product catalog. So it's really just in its infancy, but it's a major accomplishment, and we're really pleased about that. Let's see, what else?
Dr. Van Zandt.
Yes, sir.
Are other entities, other public entities within the state of Nebraska able to utilize that as well, or is it only, for instance, like an educational service unit?
Oh.
I mean, that's really not a state entity. I don't know what it is about.
Yeah, it's not part of state government.
Right. I don't know how to tell me the Department of Education ESUs.
Right.
Where I was starting to go with that was, while it's not our responsibility, unless people are told that it exists, and we probably know a lot of people that would be interested in it, like, I know that, for instance, the University of Nebraska can buy off state contracts. We're part of the state government.
Yes.
So, letting the Office for Students with Disabilities know, letting the Accommodation Resource Center know at UNL that now the state contract exists, letting the similar entities at the other state colleges and universities possibly through HHS, they might have something, I don't know, where it would be advantageous for them to be aware that this contract now exists where it didn't before.
Yes, very good point. Typically, the state purchasing division informs agencies of contracts that are available, but in this case, it's enough different that I don't know exactly if they do, but we can definitely follow up on that. I will do that. That's a really great idea.
I mean, I didn't know if it was as simple as you probably have an email list of some contacts around the state of people who would probably appreciate having that knowledge, and just simply sending out a quick note, hey, FYI, we signed this contract. It's available to you as well.
Right.
If you have any questions, let me know. Otherwise, you can access it through state purchasing.
Yes. Great idea. Okay, I might talk with you further about that, but I've got a couple ideas right now. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. That's a great idea. Okay. Working on a new task force for the Americans with Disabilities. Title I of the task force relates to services and facilities of state government for members of the public. Title II relates to Americans with Disabilities Act for employees. So far, the task force is specifically just for Title I, but we are exploring Title II as well. That's really kind of in its infancy, but we're a player and we're on the task force, and so that's been, I think, an important thing for us to be a part of. There's lots of other things I've been working on that meetings, I'm not going to go into that stuff. I want to spend some time talking about the work our folks do in the field and the people that we're serving, so I'm going to jump to that. This federal fiscal year, which starts October 1 of 2016 through, this one goes through March 31st, is where I have the numbers, we have served 663 vocational rehab clients in all statuses. 24 were closed with achieving their employment goals. 36 were closed without achieving employment, and that sometimes is unable to locate, death, they moved, things like that. 5 clients were closed before a plan for employment was developed. And as of March 30, there were 356 active voc rehab clients still in the caseloads. For independent living, we served 414 clients in that area. This includes all ages, and the older blind program is within independent living track. Of the active clients, 133 were closed successfully, achieving their goals, 13 were closed without achieving the goals. Then at the end of March, there were 209 active IL clients. The majority of these 207 are the senior blind. One is an active IL client, is 37 years old, and one is under 18 years old. His IL, independent living case, was closed in April, and he was referred to Voc Rehab. Yes?
Going back just a little bit, in your report you talk about a memorandum of understanding that has been created with the Department of Education, Voc Rehab, and it's starting to be distributed around the state. So here, I believe it was also with Voc Rehab, Department of Education, I know it was NCECBBI also. But anyways, being distributed around to schools around the state, to educators around the state. I know one of the challenges that we've had in years past, or in the past, has always been getting the word out about our services. All agencies in Nebraska do a wonderful job serving their clients, but we all bring different things to the table. And do you expect that this MOU going out to all these schools around the state is going to change the level of participation that we have in some of our youth programs?
We certainly hope that it will. For one thing, workforce WIOA has requirements. They now mandate that education and rehab and workforce must work together, and of course the big emphasis on funds going to educate or bring rehab to pre-ads, pre-employment transition, so younger. So yeah, I think that this effort, there was a joint letter from Department of Education, the Voc Rehab Agency, and NCBVI, that's what is going out to all schools, ESUs, agencies, etc. I think that really will help. It lays out what it is that's expected. There's an MOU that went with the joint letter, and right now the MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, was finalized between Vocational Rehabilitation and the Department of Education. NCBVI is working on a somewhat different one with Department of Education, which we have drafted, but it has not been finalized yet. So when that does get finalized, it'll go out just like the joint letter in Voc Rehab's. Voc Rehab has, that's the agency for disabilities other than blind in Nebraska, they have a whole system of what they call their pre-ets that has phases and stages and potentially eligible, and it's more complicated in a way than what it is that NCBVI is doing for youth. So they had language in their memorandum of understanding that really didn't apply to this agency. So we're right now the MOU that we're hoping will, or that we've drafted, is with the attorneys in the Department of Education.
Okay. So I'm looking at some statistics from last year. I think we had, I'm reading this right, we had 17 participants in wages last summer the younger group that program in the summer.
PI,
thank you. Project Independence. We had 13 at our two Winterfest sessions last year. We had 23 and 18 participants respectively. If these numbers were to double. Has there been any thought to how the agency would cope with that? I mean, I have ideas of what could happen, but I didn't know. I'm wondering if we're going to start to see numbers increase because of this, and I don't know at what level we would see increases, but if they were to happen to double or something like that, do we have a plan in place, or we started to think about how we would handle that size of a program?
Sure, that goes to the capacity. Does NCDVI have the capacity?
Absolutely.
I would say for sure we're thinking about how we will or would incorporate more youth into our programs. We really don't know yet how many there will be. Blindness, of course, is low incidence population, but I definitely say it's safe to say we would do everything we could to make sure that we expand our programs in such a way, or change what we do in such a way to make it work.
Okay. And I know we've used some very capable temporary contractors and so like that in the past.
Yes.
I'm sure there might be, for a small short-term program, with putting things on, could involve bringing people in like that.
Right. Let me give you an example that we did this past Winterfest, I think it was, there was a young participant who had autism, and we hired was he Wages or Winterfest, Carlos?
Winterfest,
I thought so, okay. And so we actually contracted with an individual to be a service provider, kind of a one-on-one throughout the, and of course I'm not saying it exactly right, but working directly with this person to enable him to fully participate in the program. And I was just talking yesterday with some specifics about how that worked, and really it just was a world of difference, which in the past probably that person would not have been able to attend the Winterfest. So in some ways, the expanding of our capacity may relate to numbers of people referred to us, but it also definitely relate to the disabilities that people have that perhaps in the past we might not have been prepared to work with.
Great. That's a great point of view. Thank you very much.
Yes. Let's see, those are the statistics. In terms of the center, we have 8 clients currently. Well, one was to graduate at the end of April, so that one probably has graduated. We had 3 people came to do 3-day stays, which that's always a first, well, not the very first step, but that's a pre-center step that is important. They've done lots of different activities and skill building and just really done a lot of very great work in the center and in the field, lots of great work going on. A lot of good jobs that our clients are getting. That's always my favorite part to tell about is, Lincoln, and by Lincoln I mean Lincoln Districts, which goes all the way up to Norfolk, to the South Dakota border, and covers a lot of territory. People got jobs as food service worker, business enterprise vendor, mental health counselor, customer service representative, and maintained work as an assembler. And then in Omaha, some of the jobs that clients got were food service workers, receptionists, customer service, switchboard operator, and we're looking really statewide. This is an emphasis from WIOA on certification and helping consumers to get certified so that they'll have careers and not just jobs. And then in North Platte, employment at a Dunkin' Donuts, that's a good job. So in a nutshell, those are the staff just statewide are doing a great job with networking with businesses, with educators. That's really an increased emphasis throughout the state that is reaping benefits for the consumers that we serve. I know I've gone past the time allowed. There's a lot more detail that really I could probably spend the whole morning telling you all about the updates of what the agency is doing and the good work. But I think I'd like to close here and see if there are any questions or anything specific that I didn't talk about that you would like me to.
Robert, just one comment. It's great to see people getting jobs, and it's also great to see people maybe moving on to a bigger, better job possibly, or moving along with family. But to some things that means we're going to miss someone that we found as a part of this commission. They did a great job out in the North Platte office. I think she is moving on to secretary, right?
Yes, I was thinking of mentioning that. Laura LaValle is, and actually maybe that's not the one you were thinking of, but Laura LaValle is the VR tech in our North Platte office, and she is resigning toward the end of May. I'm not sure if we have an exact date yet. We do.
June 1st,
okay. We get it for one more day.
Yeah.
Her husband received a job in another town, and so they will be moving out of North Platte. So Laura has been a really great member of the team, and we're sorry to see her leave. We may well see about contracting with her for some low vision teaching or who knows what, but so we're sorry to see her go. Is that anything else?
I just saw that and I said, sure.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and announce that Adrian Moody just graduated yesterday from UNK, so congratulations to you, Adrian. And so I think those are the main, I mean, there's lots more, of course. Kathy, is there anything else you can think of I really should tell about?
No, I think, I mean, there's a lot more.
There's a lot. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for the time.
Do I need the mic back over here?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I'll just make sure we're going to skim in real quick, make sure I don't forget something.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Van Zandt. One thing I can't remember if you really quickly mentioned it or not, but I just wanted to, I mean, our staff does lots of great things every day, but I did get an opportunity to see the video that Eric Buckwalter put together regarding wages. They were producing the video the day of our last board meeting. And it's now posted up on YouTube, and I was very impressed with not only the content but the level of quality of the video. And I just I know that he and several of the staff have done a lot to improve our social media, web, and web presences, and I thought that was just a great example, and that he did a wonderful job on it. So, the next item on the agenda is the budget and biennium update. So, Dr. Van Zandt, I'll pass the microphone back over to you again.
All right.
Thank you. We're doing well in our budget. We are still spending from carryover that we had before. With the WIOA now requires 15% of your full vocational rehabilitation funds and 50% of the supported employment funds must go for pre-employment transition services. Pre-ETS is what we call it. And so that's a huge amount of funds, and especially with blindness, since the majority of blind people tend to be in the older age ranges, some state agencies are having a lot of trouble spending 15%. Now we, with our programs, with the emphasis we've always had on transition, we're ahead of where most people are in having programs and having a focus to work with youth. So we're doing fine with our 15%. The 15% is statewide for, it combines the Voc Rehab General Agency and the Commission for the Blind. So we've been having more meetings with Voc Rehab to work together and to kind of make, if we spend more than our 15% and they don't get their 15% spent, they can count some of the extra we spend as part of their their portion. And so, in fact, they are having trouble and may end up needing to go into order of selection where they have a waiting list and such if their funds are cut. Because if the state VR agencies don't spend that amount, then they will actually be penalized by the federal budget. So far, so we're doing good on that, and we're communicating and working with the VR agency so the state funds won't be penalized. And we don't know exactly how that'll work out yet, but we're just working together and trying to get a good foundation. I talked earlier about our budget requests and the grant. At least there is a federal budget now, so that's good. We don't have grant awards yet, but those should be coming soon. And Bill Brown does a great job of tracking and giving the information about budget issues and funds and expenditures to Carlos and Bob, and then they to the supervisors, so that we really keep a good management system, I think, about how things are going, whether we're spending too much, whether we need to focus more in a certain area, and so on. So that's really the overview. If you have anything more specific, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Well, the money sounds good.
I guess I do. It's somewhat related.
Just because we're spending money to do it. More related to your previous report. Let's see, wages is going to start here in June, correct?
What's the start date?
First week of June.
Okay.
Exactly, but it's first week.
So I know that because of the hiring freeze, we have to go through the governor's office to hire staff.
Right.
Did we get approval then to hire summer staff?
Yes.
That wasn't a problem? Okay.
Right.
And have we already gone through that process, or?
Yes.
So all staff that needed for wages have been identified and hired? And
I believe that's true. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I know we got approval and that was in the works. So.
All right.
Well, let me just clarify.
Go ahead.
For the sake of a misunderstanding. the main staff are already hired, but depending on the number of clients or students and their disabilities and the kind of jobs, sometimes we need extra job coaches. So those ones are still not hired, but we don't have to go through the governor office or the process. It's just going to be a contract for some hours.
Okay.
Okay, just want to clarify that.
Thank you.
Certainly. And we actually made up time, so we're ahead of schedule.
Okay.
So that's what, are there additional changes? There were changes last year to the wages program from how it had been traditionally operated in years past. Are there some additional changes that to how the program will run and operate this year compared to last year?
Asking me?
Sure, go ahead. Let me ask, Kathy, do you know if the microphone was catching Carlos's, or do I need to carry the mic to him?
It'd probably be best to have him use a mic.
I know some things, but I think Carlos can give you more
certainly
specifics.
Thanks, Mike. The traditional wages is just work during the day, some social skills in the evenings, and the first 2 or 3 days when they come is training on how to get around the dorms, the cafeteria, and to the workplace.
Right.
Last year we make a change, and what we did was a half day was work and half day independent living training. But we pay the students like they were working.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way to motivate them, because in the past we also tried to identify some new students who needed some extra help, and they would be getting training, but then they were not happy because their friends were making the 35 hours money while they were only getting half. And there was some sabotaging around, you know, how teenagers can get around. So we did different things, but we were told by RSA so far that we cannot do that again, meaning we cannot pay a student when they are not working. If they are getting training, it's training. We try to use the argument, well, when we hire a new staff for the commission or NCBVI, we train them and they get paid. But that was, according to them, that's because they are working for us, and in that case, it's just training. We try. Anyhow, the last year, the other change was also part of the training was attendance to a national convention of a consumer organization. So that was happened last year, and we invited also parents, and we paid for that. So this year, because we were told that we couldn't pay for that training, we are not doing that training portion. But we are adding what we did in the past to the first 3 days, I think, is some training on socialist skills from socialist savvy, the folks who come, and they came last year, they did a great job. So we are doing that again. We are also still doing the national convention for the participants and their parents. So the only change is that we are not doing the training portion half day and the schedule, because most of them want to go to the national convention of the NFB, and this year ends on July 16th, but that's at least a travel day. So that's why we started earlier, so we're going to be finishing earlier also. Does that clarify your question, Mike? Or?
It does. I do have one other question.
Sure.
And it involves reimbursements to staff for attendance at national conventions, and specifically with wages. When every year the commission decides how much we can reimburse staff for attending national conventions and so on. And it's, you know, while we'd like to pay their entire way there and back and so on, you know, it's not possible to do that for everybody who would like to go. And so that there's the decision is reached with what we can do. For the staff that are required to be there for working the wages program, are they reimbursed 100% for their expenses while there?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the short answer.
Go ahead and tell a little bit more.
That's enough. If you have more, that's fine.
No, I have, well, I can make it short or long, but the main thing is because they are minors, we are requiring them to spend time, and because we are mandated to spend or invest more money on pre-ed, we can use that money towards that.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but those who don't want to be working with the pre-ed, the option is still there, and we haven't decided if we are going to support this year because the biennium hasn't been approved yet. So.
Right.
But it's pending.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
At this point, it's looking pretty good for some partial support. We have let staff know, the non-PREETS working staff, we've let them know that they will be able to attend and get administrative leave while they're at a convention. But we haven't been able to determine the financial support yet.
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much. Commissioners, any other questions, comments?
No.
Good. All good.
All right. All right. Cruising right along, 3 minutes ahead of time. NFB Newsline. We have a report from our Nebraska NFB Newsline coordinator, Jamie Ritchie. The full report will be in the minutes. She did talk about in the report that there's been a lot of activity with in Newsline, where she's been doing a lot of work in updating Newsline in regards to the Lincoln bus system. That StarTran recently went through a change of routes, and so they're still tweaking the routes, and so she's constantly updating the records online so that there's an accessible. So it's another accessible method of accessing the route information. So they're continuing to feed her that, and she's making the updates. There have been some problems with some of the Nebraska publications over the last quarter, the staff at the Newsline office in Baltimore were quick to get those resolved, so that's good to hear. And that there have been a few new publications added to Newsline. Let's see, I'll just read this. There are three new publications have been added under the breaking news category and include the New York Times Online, the International Business Times, and the McClatchy, D.C. Also added is the Rome News Tribune and a local daily newspaper from Rome, Georgia. So also included are all the statistics for the last several months regarding readership, and again, that her full report will be listed or will be in the minutes. So if you're interested in that, you can get it off of the NCBBI website